Hello everyone, welcome to the Smashy Business Show. My name is Abdul Majid Awan and today is 4th of April, Friday 2025.
And I'm Richard Fitzgerald.
Yeah, and today we have really interesting news for you. All was red in UAE, Saudi, Egypt, Qatar, Kuwait and the global stock markets yesterday after Trump announced his reciprocal tariffs. So we're going to discuss that. We're going to discuss the Bilawan case. They have food poisoning reports allegedly in Saudi Arabia. All their stores, the videos that are coming out, they're closed. We're going to discuss that. How important is crisis management for brands? And Abu Dhabi's CYVN Holdings has completed the acquisition of McLaren Automotive. We're going to discuss how important this is. So let's just jump in for the first very big story. Everything is red, Rich. Everything, literally.
Tariffs, yeah.
What does it say for the future? How do you see it?
Look, I think this year has been, we're into Q2. This year has been an interesting one with the stock market. The stock market has been on a bit of a rally since there was a big rally in 2020. And, there was a down year in 22. But like 24 was a comeback year. Some stocks nearly came back to all-time highs. I follow closely the kind of media stocks, and the last 6 months, Spotify is still up 50%. Like, there was a rally from November to now. So on one level, the last sort of 2 or 3 weeks, could be seen as a correction. Like, Tesla is down a lot. One of the big stocks, one of the big FANG, or if we call them, I know, like, our graphic here now has, different acronyms, but Amazon and Alphabet, like one of them is down about 30% in the last 6 weeks or so. So yesterday, obviously, there was big drops. I think, Amazon is almost a $2 trillion company. And it looked, in my rough calculation, it looked like it dropped 7 or 8%, which is about $200 billion.
Yeah.
Imagine just casual $200 billion. And then it has the knock-on effect in this region. The story that we picked out, and there's probably more, is the 9% drop of Emaar Properties, which was also on a bit of a tear on the back of real estate booms and high dividends, etc. So, the stock market goes up and down. People are posting that Warren Buffett is sitting on treasury, and he was sort of almost saw this coming, per se. I think the other thing is when Trump came in what was January 2017, and most presidents try and say the first 100 days they turn around the economy and they turn around the stock market. I think he's not even trying. I think there's kind of macro themes here. Is he walking into a recession intentionally? It looks like it. It looks like, as in, not that it's intentional, it looks like there will be a recession in the US, per se. But again, our view is that there's a unipolar, which is a term you use, a multipolar world, that that doesn't mean that we're going to have a recession here. But, the US has a lot of debt, and they're sort of, they're trying to pay that back, per se, and they're trying to knock back the tariffs. But the stock market's an interesting one. Like, should you be in bonds? Should you not be in the stock market? Yeah. I always imagine when these good companies drop, like I think Google's 20%, I think when these good companies drop, I always think of it as a buying opportunity. And not investment advice, but I put a few hundred dirham extra to top up my Emaar properties this morning. But just because, when I look around,
it's just that you know that this country, this city, everything is so stable that you can trust it.
Yeah.
But with what's happening to the American economy, I was just reading Khalaf Al Abtur's tweet as soon as you came in. He was very anti-America, very critical that American policies is more about Trump saying stuff than actually doing stuff. That's his opinion. But I think he is trying something which may come out miraculously good for America. But there is very high chance, which everyone is saying, you'll read any big analyst, you read any big publication, everyone is pointing towards the recession. But the 10% tariffs, let's come to the tariffs.
Yeah,
10% tariffs. We're very safe right now.
We are here in a way. I mean, I think one of the Smashy Business newsletter this morning said the total trade is $30 billion into the US. So, we're more focused here on FDI into UAE. There aren't massive, we don't have a Nike situation with Taiwan where we're manufacturing into the US, etc. But I think, thinking back, when I studied economics nearly 20 years ago now, or more than 20 years ago in university, imagine there was a whole section and a whole area of economics is about import and export tariffs and duties. It's all about trade, right? And when globalization happened, the ones that took part in globalization did well. Yeah. When free borders happened, like in the EU, Ireland, the country I'm from, did really well because there was no longer tariffs. And, you know, the import and export duties slow things down, so do sanctions, but they actually harm both sides. So, so there's a lot of that going on. And I think I saw a really good analysis by Bloomberg on how this calculation was done on the tariffs. Yeah.
It was a very nice formula. We'll share it. We'll do a story on it. I had it for today. But
the general idea was that, you know, the calculation sort of is wrong in that, you know, Bangladesh is getting a high tariff. It's because it's a poor country and the trade deficit is big, not because they're importing or they're taxing American goods a lot. So I think there's a misnomer here. And then, you know, our general view on the sort of Trump administration is that he's friendly towards the Gulf states. He's going to visit them here soon.
First foreign visit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
To the Gulf countries. So, yeah, we could be in for more deals. We could maybe get this 10% off as well when he promised. UAE already has promised $1.4 trillion.
American investor, Bill Ackman, said yesterday that, you know, you should pick up the call, you should do a deal. I think people see, you know, there's books on Trump, Art of the Deal. People see him as a public negotiator. Yeah. They also see him as a reality TV host. And, you know, I don't know if anyone ever watched The West Wing when it came out like 20 years ago but but, like, it just reminds me of episodes and seasons and periods.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to undermine, like, this is real world, this reality, but when Musk said that he's stepping down from his Doge Royal and he's going back to business, it's like, you know in episodes of Friends when, like, that, you know, when Kevin Costner comes in for an episode, like, Musk's appearance in the West Wing is in, and now he's out. Yeah. Now he's back to... So it's kind of like, you know, like, I think you have to look at these, you have to dial out a little bit and go, is this the new situation? Yeah. Do we get all pent up that Elon Musk, a South African, is now running American policies? Well, it's just an episode of The West Wing. It's cool. He's in, he's out, and we're good.
Yeah. No, the episode scene, it clearly shows that every show has, like, a very tail end kind of a drama, and then the next episode starts from there. With Trump, it looks like that. In the last 3 or 4 months, every 1 or 2 weeks, we see some high from him. Something happens. He does something which takes it to the high. Then he disappears for like 2 or 3 days a week, and then he comes back.
But isn't it so interesting, though? Like, obviously, there's an, you know, we always talk about New World Order and, you know, the global south and multipolar and things like that. But isn't it? It's not boring, you know. Like, if you're in a country where there's nothing happening, like, if you're a business operator, or even if you're in foreign policy, or even in fiscal policy and economics. You know, it's interesting. The dynamics are changing, and there's always opportunity.
Yeah, and with our region, there is opportunity. We've seen UAE was recently ranked the number one country again for entrepreneurship, fourth year consecutively. Everyone was talking about it. We did a story on it, and it shows you in the environment. You start a business, not only the government has such friendly policies, people also come and support you. I think you, as a business owner, maybe can throw light on it. Do people come and support you? Like, not monetarily even. Do they come and inspire you? Do you, you maybe got inspired from some people during your time here, right?
I definitely think there's certain factors that create an entrepreneurship atmosphere, and the UAE have really worked on that. Things happen here. You know, I was down in Jumeirah today, and it just... I saw the island project by Wassel developer opposite Mars Al Arab, and it, just to see the investment in the project going in there, and the construction firm that's behind that also has projects in Saudi with Qadia, a giga project, and a lot in London, a lot across the UAE as well. And that project's amazing. And, you know, you can kind of sit and be negative and kind of go, nothing's going to happen in 10 years. But these things happen. These projects get off the ground. These things happen.
I remember you told me about Marsa Al Arab, that everyone is talking about how cool it is and how nicely it's built. I went for a lunch, and I actually saw, and I was like, Rich was right. It looks amazing. And right next to Burj Al Arab, it gives you that feel. And it was full. The restaurant was full up. There
Which
was no place. Kira. It's
nice?
A Japanese Mediterranean restaurant. Yeah, the food was nice. Yeah. I think they didn't expect so many people, so the service was a little slow, but everything else was great. So, yeah, service-wise, everything else.
I had in Rialto, the Italian one, nice. Ground floor. And again, in Jumeirah Hospitality, Jumeirah Cuisine, all new brands, Majid, yeah. All new, you know, you ask around and it's all new brands and it's all fresh produce. Yeah. You look down outside and there's these boats that are, you know, $8 to $10 million, etc., in the New Harbour area. And then across the way, the island's going to also have a harbour. Yeah. So, you know, this isn't about wealth and accumulation. This is about aspiration and things happening. And I think, you know, we can look at a recession and we can think negatively or we can think opportunity. Definitely the stocks are down today.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone is protected. And I don't think, you know, your investment strategy, there's always going to be knock-on effects of all these things, even if you have ETFs. I think bonds are a little bit safer at the moment. Yeah. But also, you know, the recession will have a knock-on effect to a degree, but there's also independent economies.
Yeah. The main thing, what I've realized from all this is, and we'll segue with that into the next story, is quality control in this region. You go to a hospital, you go to a hotel, you go to a restaurant, the quality control is always there. You will see people smiling.
We're talking about B11, right?
So we'll segue into B11 now, which is facing a problem with quality control, I guess. They shut down, a lot of stores in Saudi Arabia were reportedly shut down. We saw the videos. They haven't come out with a statement. Even the Saudi ministry's statement was without a name, but they said that we are looking into investigation. And 26 food poisoning cases. Everyone knows now that it is B11.
They haven't made a statement, but, you know, I just want to caveat this on a few things, not to protect us or whatever, but on the defamation side, like, I think I had B11 for the first time in Global Village recently. I didn't know of the brand until Smashy Business started talking about it a few months ago with the viral videos out of Egypt. And, we need chains in the region that are popular. Yeah. That go up against the kind of global chains and things like that. So I think B11 will be fine. I think it'll bounce back. It's got that unique understanding of produce that people like. If you look at their, you know, a word mentioned on the show yesterday, she liked the kashari, the Egyptian dish. And, you know, we had the mangoes, you talked about that. You talked about it in Pakistan, you talk about it in Egypt. But yes, there's obviously sugar in these produce, and I get that. But I think when people are saying B11's full of sugar versus quality control, and the second point on the quality control and the shutting down, I think you need to understand the region and understand how regulation works, that this isn't the worst case. This is actually a protective measure, and it happens quite regularly in Saudi.
Yeah.
There was a burger incident about 18 months ago or 12 months ago. There was a brand that had a knock-on effect where stores closed. You know, that image, and we've had Love in Saudi for nearly 10 years.
The main thing what I saw throughout the story is that the governments here are very proactive. They would jump in as soon as they see that something may be wrong. Even on the maybe point, they come, they check, and most probably if Saudi B11 stores open up again, they'll come back with a bang. We Love in Dubai did a story. We still have lines outside UAE stores. Egypt, their main market, is already doing it.
Yeah, look, as long as I think when you get there, it's like regulatory moat. It's like when they check your stores now, they close them to check. When they check the stores, the measures are going to be even higher. So the regulation's already in place, but the regulation's going to be even higher, so it's even safer after.
Yeah.
I think customers know this. And, you know, but that sort of sign on the door is regular in Saudi. And as long as the business is ethical and things like that, but we showed a post about people advising what they should do.
Yeah, Mazen Kanaan, founder of House of Pops, a very big brand now. You see a pop-up of them wherever you go now. And Mazen said his LinkedIn post was very interesting for me because a lot of people are criticizing B11. He was kind of like in the founder's place that don't say bad things when something comes out. If you find something bad, if you think sugar is a problem with B11, if you think there is any kind of problem with B11, why weren't you talking about it when it was at a high? When B11 was great, when it was doing so much.
Yeah. And Nagati, that well-known entrepreneur in Egypt, also sort of advised them to come out and statement.
Yeah.
I think there's different views on this. I do think they're going to be fine.
Yeah.
I do think you weather the storm and you come back.
Yeah, and we gave the example. We talked about the example of Buy a Bit. Recently, they went through $1.5 billion dollars of loss. They lost Ethereum, were hacked. The founder came out very next 2 hours and he was like, live video, we're talking about it. Yeah. So that was good crisis management. This, I think they will come out. I think they're just waiting for Saudi Ministry's investigation to complete so they can come out with a proper statement. I think they'll be fine. I think they will come back.
As we sort of covered, they used the same guy in the acting for different roles, but that's not the CEO. So it just depends of like, you know, communication is so important, and Smashy Business covers a lot of founders from their LinkedIn posts. The founder of Sarwa, we cover him a lot. We, you know, Wejden from we cover Squat Wolf a lot. And I think the interesting stuff about this is they're using LinkedIn to like build in public or to communicate the whole time. Now, when God forbid, or you know, inshallah, they don't have a problem, but when something happens, that exercise, that old machine, that ability to come out. And I guess the Bybit guy was just a natural communicator. Yeah. And I think this helps, right? And sometimes you have internal sort of systems and approvals that doesn't allow you to act fast. Sometimes you're not doing it all the time. And, you know, I see sometimes editorially, you know, I'm better at communicating on behalf of Augustus Media, but like sometimes I see if trolls on X and things like that go against some of the comments, if we haven't practiced replying or putting updates and stories of why posts are removed or why comments are removed, you know, often it's in line with the media guidelines and, you know, not to incite toxic behavior online and things like that. But if we don't communicate in that way, you're sort of setting yourself up for the sort of 1% of the negativity to come. And clearly people are having a little go at Balaban to a degree, but as we posted on Love in Dubai yesterday, the lines are still outside the stores in Barsha, etc. And Global Village is as popular as ever. I'd love to hear the numbers this year. You know what I realized about Global Village? I know Ward mentioned the other day she was there as well. It's a real place to start a trend.
Yeah.
And I didn't think of it like 10 years ago, but you know, it's actually not just in the low-end pricing, even high-end. Like there's matcha there, Kacha Matcha for 35 dirham for a matcha. And their second pop-up is now at Canteen, Beach Canteen in Jumeirah. So, you know, my wife and I were passing through Global Village, and when there was a group of local ladies around each other and they were sharing a sweet dish each, my wife sort of said, let's go near to see which trend they're following. Because you can see it sometimes on Snap or you can see it somewhere else. But like basically the general point here is that like these trends can come out of these food markets.
Yeah.
And this is where it catches on. And like people will go intentionally, just go to this little pop-up store. And again, I think when people are launching brands in the region, I think they miss this insight. You know, they'll come to Love in Dubai and they'll say, do a big campaign. Well, maybe for one season, booking a store in one of the areas, one of the village, the countries or the pavilions in Global Village is your way for people to discover you and put it on Snap, and suddenly you become viral because Balaban is viral in Global Village.
Yeah, Balaban stores are, they're like, whenever I go, I've been to it for like 4 or 5 times. My wife loves that place. I don't know, abayas and everything. But yeah, whenever I go, Balaban always has at least one person standing and buying there. So I understand the trend perspective that, buy a pop-up, invest in that, and see if their product works. Worst case scenario, at the end of like 6 months, 5 month period, you'll have a very good idea if your product is market fit, not fit, or what. So good in investing. Instead of buying an office, just put up a small setup and just invest that money there. So
it's probably some of these markets have high real. I remember the food truck craze and things like that. Some to get place in markets and to get place can cost you as much as a mall rental. To a degree. I don't know how much Global Village is, but like, you know, there are probably cost-effective ways of doing it.
So, let's move on to our last story of the day. A little technical, but Abu Dhabi CYVN Holdings, it's a company in Abu Dhabi, and they've completed the acquisition of McLaren Automotive. It was signed in December 2024 last year. We reported on it. But CYVN has a very nice link with another EV producer, NIO, N-I-O. We did a story on that when they launched their first car in the UAE, and they chose UAE as the first
Chinese manufacturer, a bit like BYD, higher end.
And they're going to like expand into Saudi and other markets soon, but UAE was their first Middle Eastern market. So they have now taken the stake from Bahrain's Mumtalakat Holding Company, which is the sovereign wealth fund, So yeah, this is happening. A very interesting post shared by Rich in the morning that exposed that why is it important? A Chinese manufacturer will now have access to McLaren's engines and their all the engineering that goes behind making racing cars and even good cars, right?
Yeah, and you know, we know that Saudi did a deal with Lucid and made a factory in Saudi, but we're not seeing yet factories in UAE for Chinese manufacturers. AlphaTame have a deal with BYD, but it's, again, like the last 30, 40 years, where it's the showroom. When are we going to see this sort of, we see data centers being built here. You talk a lot about Sujani's on the show, but I want to see this factory being built. Yeah. I want to see what Saudi did. I want to see off the conveyor belt, whether it's a JV with China, to see these cars being produced in UAE. Yeah. You know, there was a story that I think we should cover, but, you know, semiconductors are having a moment in Egypt. And I think, you know, obviously some country in the region could, as well as Saudi, start manufacturing cars. But definitely the world is shifting, the world is moving. Yeah. You know, we see the share price of BYD rising. NIO is a bit flat. It's actually public on three stock markets.
Nice.
The NASDAQ, you know, a Chinese stock market, and also Hong Kong, I think. They're a bit flat, but I think, you know, the luxury electric vehicles haven't fully taken off yet. Yeah. You know, imagine the McLaren Automotive is different to McLaren F1, right? I think Saudi are investing in McLaren F1 team because I know they hired a very well-known F1 operator, and they have their eyes on moving Max Verstappen over from Red Bull when his contract's up next year to restart that sort of McLaren F1. But they're doing well at the moment. Yeah. I think they're, you know, they're Mercedes and McLaren. But, you know, again, Abu Dhabi, you go on the website of CYVN, which I don't know what it stands for. Imagine there's nothing on the website.
Yeah.
It's a scroll down, and it's like a very fancy website, but it's like, we're an Abu Dhabi investment vehicle. That's it.
That's it.
They don't have social profiles. They have a LinkedIn page. Yeah. They don't have a bit of NIO. They own all of McLaren Automotive. So,
remember we were going to, we were coming back from Expand North Star the first day that we went together, and on the way you told me about this deal, Lunate, 100 billion with something. And then Lunate, we did 2-3 stories about them. The thing is, again, their website, very plain. Office, this number, that's it. An X account, that's it. So these companies, Khalafal Abtur, coming back to his tweet, he said a very nice thing in the tweet. We'll do a story on it for sure. He said, investment doesn't make noise. Investment doesn't like noise. They just invest and they want their money back on their investment.
Maybe
they don't
want
to create
stories. Maybe we'll leave with him. And then later in the story, we can just talk about the CYVN website. Yeah. Not making noise.
So these things are happening in the world of business. Stay tuned with us. We'll see you back on Monday. This is a Smashy Business Show.
Yeah. Just a shout out as Smashy Business Show. Yeah. And you will tell us where everyone can watch it. But a little shout out to an event taking place on Monday and Tuesday in Al Habtour City, related to Khalaf Al Habtour.
Yeah.
Al Habtour City in Dubai. It's called Fluidity. It's a new conference, nice purple branding, purple logo.
Yeah.
And basically, Majid, it's a connection of all of Africa and the Gulf and the MENA, so Middle East and Africa. And it's a conference that sort of has a two-day conference all about themes of, you know, can the tech companies here compete globally? And that sort of pan-Arab, sort of also Africa connection. That's the first time I've seen this sort of connection together. Like, obviously, Egypt is sort of linked with here in terms of the Arab world, whatever. But then you've got North Africa.
Yeah.
But you have a lot of companies that are big in Africa and are looking to move into Saudi and vice versa. So it's a very nice conference. The team behind Digital Digest, Rasha Ghablouche and her team are behind organizing this as well. So I expect a lot of startup-y chat, and we'll cover some of it on Smash
and
Business.
Rich will be there.
I'll be moderating two panels. Yeah, one with Paytabs and one with Yango, and another panel on VCs and investment opportunities in the region. Going back to the initial point that we talked about at the start about the US and tariffs, there's more and more opportunities to build sort of indigenous tech and software for the region. And I think that conference will explore it.
And reminds me, we did a story, I just randomly came to my mind, that UAE is the biggest investor in Africa from the MENA region. Nearly $44 billion they've earmarked over the next 4 years, like including the last year. So over 5 years, they're investing $44 billion. So they see the opportunity, and I think these events show that there is opportunity in Africa. We'll talk about Africa someday. We'll talk about continents and how they're shaping up after all of this. Thank you so much for joining us. Tune in for Smashy Sports Show after this as well. We have a Smashy Sports Show. We talk about the Middle Eastern sports and what's happening in that world. This is the Smashy Business Show, part of the Smashy Business Production, which is the part of the larger Augustus Media Podcast Network. We have 1.5 million listeners. We're going to increase them to 2 million, inshallah, soon.
Yeah, 1.6 million downloads, yeah. And dropped again to 1.5 over the last 30 days. There's about 35 shows there, guys.
You can enjoy whichever show you want on the Augustus Media Podcast Network. Thank you so much. See you on Monday. Take care. Have a nice weekend.